the last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
So how are you getting on at home? How are you getting on with everyone else that you live with? We're going to continue discussing how you mind your mental health during COVID-19. And we're delighted we've got Helen Vaughan back with us, psychotherapist and owner of Maynooth Counselling. I want to start, Helen, with the issue of relationships in the home. When people are spending perhaps an awful lot more time with each other than they had ever anticipated, no matter how much they might love each other or love their children, they might be finding that all of the time spent together is a little bit tougher than perhaps they'd anticipated. How do you go about minding relationships at a time like that?
I'd say I kind of think that's the toughest thing at the moment. I feel like work, people are probably getting a bit of flexibility from their employers, but the pressure on relationships is huge, because not only are we in a crisis, but as you say, we're forced to be with the people we love the most, but for extended periods of time. You know, we're working at home, we're parenting if we've children at home, we're obviously living at home. Our social circle is now the home, because we're probably not seeing anyone else, particularly not family or older people. You know, so it's a huge amount of pressure on the relationship. And I think maybe acknowledging that in yourself is an important thing to say, you know, that you're probably not the only person finding this hard, or even to say it to your other half, whoever you're living with or whoever you're involved with, that this is tough and this is a lot of pressure on us, and that we've all got these anxieties around the virus and the social stuff and work stuff and money. And there's so much going on. It's almost to acknowledge within yourself and within your relationship that this is tough, and that each individual is finding it hard and each couple is no doubt finding it hard. In terms of working better as a couple, one strong big one that I would suggest is to try not to control the other person's behavior. That's one of the things I see coming up in relationships frequently, is where one person is trying to get the other person to do what they want them to do, which doesn't work, because most of us know we don't want to be told what to do, or we don't want to feel that someone else is trying to control us. So what I would suggest as a therapist is trying to control your own behavior and maybe communicate to your partner that a certain issue or a certain thing is bothering you, but trying not to blame them or criticize them. So to try to do it in a way that you say, do you know what, all the dirty washing on the floor is making me frustrated, rather than saying, you are this or you are that, or you should do this or you shouldn't do that. You know, to try to take ownership of what the issue is rather than the person that's contributing to the issue, maybe.
And how much attention do you have to pay to the tone in which you actually talk, make those particular requests, right? Yeah. Or should I say demands?
Tone is a difficult one, and I guess that's where a lot of it lies, is, you know, that if you say something in a grumpy fashion, the other person is already defensive before they probably haven't even heard actually a word you've said, because they take the tone and they just immediately go to defense. You're criticizing me and I'm not happy about that. So I would say tone is a big one. You know, if you can use what we call in the business I statements, so I feel, you know, when this happens, I feel this, or, you know, I feel frustrated, or I feel ignored, or, you know, to try to take your own personal ownership. Take note of your tone. Try not to criticize if possible. You know, saying I feel this in a situation rather than you are doing this and you are not doing that and you are this kind of person, or that, you know, where you're very much laying it on the other person. Try to take your own ownership. And I feel ignored when I've looked after the kids for 6 hours today and, you know, you've managed to do your work and I haven't. You know, I guess it's trying to bring it back to yourself rather than trying to blame the other person for what's happening.
When you said I statements, I thought you were going to mean eye rolls or throwing your eyes up to heaven and things like that.
Well, and all of those are non-verbal kind of ways of criticizing without openly saying it. And they're all just as hurtful as each other. So to try to check yourself if you can, which I know is tough because we're all under huge pressure. And I think a lot of people at the moment aren't admitting to themselves maybe that they are anxious or they are afraid or, you know, worried about work or money or family or health or, you know, whatever all these things are that are going on for everyone, is to almost just allow yourself to be anxious. Give yourself permission to feel scared or frustrated or angry or whatever it is that's going on.
Because that's quite natural at the moment, Helen, isn't it? And if you weren't in some way anxious, wouldn't there be something strange about you?
Well, exactly, especially with something like this going on, that for us in this country, like, since, I don't know, when was the last major crisis? Was it the 40s? You know, that for most of us, this is the first time being involved in something like this and where your entire life is affected. You know, there's people who've lived in the Middle East and other places where they've been through poverty or wars or stuff like that. This, for us, for most of us anyway, is a new thing and a new way of adapting, which takes a while to A, realize how you're feeling and how it's affecting you, and then B, getting used to this new normality that we're having to live within at the moment with restrictions and stuff, which again, we're not used to being told by the government how to live our lives day to day, how to interact, how not to see most of your family for, you know, none of us know how long. It's a tough thing. And it's almost giving yourself a break for that and allowing yourself to feel a bit, whatever it is that you feel, you know.
We're going to talk about resilience now, but to be resilient, do we almost have to regard ourselves as being at war? That what you're describing is that in the way that in back to the 1940s, when people had to go to shelters, had to blacken out their windows in case, I mean, and there were cases when in Ireland there were bombing raids by mistake on the country, that you actually have to regard yourself as being in a wartime situation and restrict yourself accordingly.
I think in a sense, maybe that I obviously haven't lived through a war, so I'm not sure. But, you know, it's, I guess, having this huge thing that's impacting all of our lives and making us anxious because it's happening now. It's affecting our day-to-day lives and we don't know how long it's going to go on. You know, when we're restricted in terms of our movements, in terms of our social ability, you know, and all these things that, you know, maybe we're not used to. And that's, we're probably still quite shocked by it all, you know, that we're still kind of going, I don't know, I hear some people talking about getting back to normal when things are going to, you know, are they going to get back to normal when this lockdown finishes in another week? And you're kind of like, I don't know that the normal we had before will ever return. You know,
and I wouldn't be assuming that it's going to finish in a week's time, to be honest, Helen. I think it's most unlikely that this is going to finish in a week.
There are people crossing their fingers hoping to go back to normal in a week or two, that actually it's psychologically better to prepare ourselves for a longer period of uncertainty and possible restrictions. They may not be the way they are now. They might get tighter. They might get looser. You know, it might adjust as things go on. But maybe is it better to think about it as being more a medium-term thing, that it might last for another couple of months? Who knows in what guise? But to almost mentally prepare yourself for that rather than waiting and hoping for things to just flick of a switch and go back to the way we were a month ago.
Something just comes to mind, and we hadn't planned to talk about this, so I'm sorry if I'm going to catch you on the hop in relation to this, but I'd imagine it is something that you might be dealing with some of your clients, those who actually have children who are preparing for exams, particularly the Leaving Cert, or maybe college exams as well, but most particularly the Leaving Cert, because it is such a major landmark in people's lives and so important to the next steps they take in their life. The uncertainty as to when the Leaving Cert will take place. Leo Varadkar yesterday was very insistent that yes, they will make sure it happens. Of course it'll happen, but the problem is, when is it going to happen and how do you prepare at home when you don't have your network in school and your teachers physically available to you?
Well, what I'd say to that, and it's probably similar to work situations in some sense, is that you don't have control over when the Leaving Cert happens, how it happens and what it's going to look like. And I guess what you do have control over is what you know right now. So can you continue preparing study-wise and work-wise as you were, you know, with June being your deadline as we know it right now, and to try not to worry about the big picture items in terms of if it might move in terms of date or in terms of the format of it. You know, to try to deal in the facts as you know them now and to try not to, even though I know it's so hard, to worry about the things that you don't know. And the things particularly that you don't have control over. Because within the situation, I think for all of us, the big issue is control and the fact that we're not in control of it and we're not in control of how it happens. But you are in control of your own response to it and what you can do and what you can, how you can behave.
In the notes you gave me for this, you spoke about controlling the controllables. And that phrase really stuck with me because last year when I was working with Jamie Heaslip on doing his book, he was telling me regularly that this was a Joe Schmidt, the Irish rugby coach's mantra, that they had to always control the controllables. But he also explained how the Leinster rugby coach, Stuart Lancaster, would try and encourage them to be comfortable in chaos. Now, I know you can't always necessarily extrapolate what happens in sports and on the sporting field to life, but there does seem to be some logic and merit to those things.
Yeah, I think a lot of those are psychological tools that we can all use in a lot of things, where I personally don't have control over how this disease spreads throughout Ireland. And for me to worry about that is probably not that productive, but what I can control is...
Sorry, Helen,
I actually
have to interrupt there a second, because the HSE will say we do have control, however the disease spreads, and that's why we're socially isolating, by not being with other people, not being in contact with them. That's how we're all doing our bit. Sorry to cut across you now, but I think it is important to emphasise that.
Well, that's what I was getting to, was that I can't control how it spreads in the whole of Ireland, but I can control what I do today to make sure I don't spread it, that I don't obviously see family members, that I stay within my 2 kilometre radius, that if I go to the shops, I do so once a day if I have to, once a week if I can, you know, and that I take steps to make sure that I'm being clean and washing my hands when I get home and disinfecting and all those things. That you can't control the big picture for me personally, but I can control what I do so that I play my part in the wider context, you know, of how this thing works out. So it's controlling your own behaviour, your own response, and feeling in control of that, rather than feeling lost in the bigger picture of it. Then what was the other thing you asked me about a minute ago that I was about? There was control, and there was also the other sport analogy.
But the other thing was comfortable in chaos.
Well, and that's the other part of this, is that we're probably still a bit shocked over what's happened in the last few weeks. And there is a point where we'll have a mental shift and we'll get used to this new normal. Maybe getting used to it and overstating it a little bit, but we will feel we will adapt to it to some degree, and we'll get used to what our lives will be like and how we can work and how we can feel a little bit like our old selves, whether that's going for a walk within your 2 kilometre radius, you know, phoning a friend, doing video calls, which are brilliant for kids and grandparents who are apart at the moment. But it's making those digital connections or other connections or nature or exercise or whatever it is that you can do to make you feel a bit normal today and a bit, I don't know, like your old self, for want of a better phrase.
And does that bring us to the word I mentioned earlier that I would be asking you about, resilience?
Well, and resilience is a funny one that I wonder, do a lot of us think either I am resilient or I'm not resilient, like a black and white situation, when in fact resilience has to be worked on, you know, and it's like I was mentioning there, self-care that we call it, which is exercise, drinking water, getting enough sleep, you know, all these things. What self-care things work for you? And can you pick one this week that you'll try and do, whether it's going to sleep a bit earlier? I'm not going to say not eating cookies, because I can't stop. So why should any of us? You know, we're all, I'd say, eating a lot of sugar or drinking alcohol when we shouldn't. But what thing can you do? Making sure you get out, you know, once a day into some fresh air, or get up at the normal time rather than staying in bed for longer. Just trying to pick one or two self-care things that you find are manageable for you this week, and not to put pressure on yourself to be super productive when we're still in the early stages of this and we're still trying to adapt our lives to all being in a house together, you know, and being with our partner, being with our children, being without our wider social circles and families. You know, that actually it's a lot to get used to, and to kind of cut yourself a break with it.
And getting into maintaining routines, like things like getting up and shaving and showering in the morning if you're a man, to make sure putting on proper clothes rather than just leaving on maybe a t-shirt and tracksuit bottoms.
Well, and it's what works for you in that. Some people I see are doing a lot of Skype and digital meetings, so they're wearing a shirt and tie on top and then, I don't know, tracksuit bottoms on the bottom. But as you say, getting up at the same time, having a shower so you feel awake, having maybe certain space within your house where you do your work, and then being able to walk away from that if you have the room to hang out and have your leisure time. So it's trying to work out what kind of life you can create for yourself within your own house, where you have, you know, you have your morning routine where you go, maybe go out for a walk or have a shower, or, you know, chat to someone on the phone or chat to people in your house. Or I don't know, I guess it's working out a routine that works for you in your house and with your work and with your relationships and children or whoever's there. And, you know, giving yourself also some alone time if you can, you know, to go out for a walk or let your partner go out for a walk or take the dog out or a run or, you know, whatever it is. It's working out what works for you and trying to keep sane through all this.
Helen Vaughan, great talking to you. We'll be keeping in touch with you as this all unfolds. Helen Vaughan, of course, is a psychotherapist, the owner of Maynooth Counselling. Thank you very much for being with us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.